Thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none.
In reference to Brady not caring about losing anymore.
Yeah, it's Brady now.
Brady's saying in his Soul Sunday interview with Oprah Winfrey that the losses don't hit him as hard anymore. After a Super Bowl loss, a loss, I guess, in the playoffs, any season-ending loss, he would be out of it for a great long period of time, and now he's saying it's getting easier to take. Adam Jones and John Wallach frightened by those statements. I just want to know why Jim Gray was there as well. It was Jim Gray, and he's got a crap-eating grin on his face, and he's got headphones on, and this was at one of Oprah Winfrey's properties. So, is this Luscious?
Hey, Adam Jones.
All right, that's not a good call.
I got to believe it was Lucius.
Oh.
I got to believe.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, he could be called Luscious. That guy could have been called Luscious. That'd be a kick-ass name if you're, you know, a handsome Lothario type guy.
Just Luscious?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if what crowd that plays to. I don't know if that's more of a
today's
a drag
it
show
be
guy
either way.
Or
it's
a Chippendales guy.
That's right.
Yeah, like if you're playing, if you're Luscious, I don't know if that's, you know, your drag name or if that's your Chippendales name.
Good point.
All right, Tom, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey guys. Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. So, do you think Brady doesn't care about this loss because it wasn't his fault? I mean, it's more the defense couldn't get off the field on third down. He did everything he could.
But what, don't you think that it would eat into him a little bit more because of the Malcolm Butler situation?
Absolutely, but he's an unrelatable weirdo, so maybe he just doesn't care because he did it all.
So, I mean, so it's an interesting point by the caller. Like, I tend to believe that Brady should be more frustrated with a loss like this. If you know, he still cared and was fully invested, he should care more about this because it was ripped away from him. It wasn't his mistake. This would have been number six. It was on the table, and Bill screwed it up. Like, I would think that would be more frustrating. But to play devil's advocate, like, I don't know. He said 2007 is the one that sticks with him the most. That was the hardest one. I thought we were one of the greatest teams of all time. Brady wasn't great in that Super Bowl. I mean, maybe it is about his personal performance. And he personally couldn't have played much better outside of the fumble late in the game against the Eagles. You know, 2007, he left a lot on the table, so maybe that's part of it.
Well, I will agree that he's an unrelatable weirdo.
Oh, you didn't feel bad that he never got to go on a honeymoon? You didn't feel bad about that?
He's an unrelatable weirdo.
He his kid has other kids who tell whichever son it is that they're only friends with him because Tom Brady's his dad. So now Brady had to deal with that. That was like a big parenting moment in the documentary, which made him, I thought, very relatable.
Well, I mean, if it's that sucks for his kids if they're saying to him, "I'm only friends with you because your dad's Tom Brady."
Yes, I mean,
come on, what are you going to fault the guy for that?
I'm not going to fault him for it.
Are you joking? You're going to fault him
I'm saying I don't know how relatable it is. That's all I'm saying.
All
like,
right.
Oh, your dad's Tom Brady.
But there's being an unrelatable weirdo in the fact of the way he acts and that he seems like he's, you know, the Scientology guy. By the way, he answers things in a weird way.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to have to...
Yeah.
This isn't unrelatable, but this is a
Jones
the price
just
of
went,
fame.
Jones just went all Evening Jones on us.
How are you supposed to relate to that? Like,
Adam, that's such a massive star. That's out of his control.
It's 2 hours and he can't help himself.
Come on.
He covered it up for long enough.
I will not come on. I will not come on.
The idea of him being an unrelatable weirdo is that he is... I'll give you an example. Examples that are appropriate is that he follows a guru who has been
that's unrelatable.
Yes, is
your kid's biggest problem is that your dad is a mega superstar. That's unrelatable.
But that is unrelatable. But it's not a conscious decision. Like that happens
no,
to
I,
everyone.
I agree with that. I'm just telling you it's not relatable. I'm not saying it's conscious. Brady's fault.
See
that he's
how
a big
quickly
star
he skips around. You see that?
All right, John. You don't have to call play by play. I'm having a discussion.
That's what I do.
Well, then stop.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so is that he follows this guru. He comes off as very weird in interviews.
Yeah.
You know, he does karate in a treehouse and Lord knows where.
Yep.
I mean, there's so many things to choose from.
Yeah, just adding these to the list.
But his kids being told they're only hanging out because of Tom Brady
yes.
is an awful thing.
That's not very nice by the other kid, yeah.
Can you imagine if you know what I have? That would destroy, if my kids came up to me, and by the way, I'm convinced some people won't hang out with my kids because of me, but it's the opposite. They won't hang out with them because parents don't want them around me.
What?
I don't know. This is just the way my brain works.
This just goes back to last week. All right, that's fine.
You're chopping off the heads of rabbits. Maybe that's not.
I didn't chop the head off the rabbit, and it needed to be done.
I don't think that's the case, Fred. But continue. That is nothing.
Well,
to do
maybe
with
it's
this.
Just an excuse that I don't have any friends.
Yes,
I'm just thinking that I don't have any friends.
Understand?
I'm trying to find an explanation.
Right.
But Jones,
his problems just don't seem very relatable. That's all. Like, I didn't get to go on my honeymoon. Yeah, you jet set around the whole world.
Okay,
I don't feel bad for you
enough.
Not going on your honeymoon.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, that is it. But I mean, having to deal with your kids.
I'm too big of a star. That was his big problem for his kid. I'm too famous. Me and my wife are too famous, so my kid has problems.
And he says in the thing that he can't relate to that. Like, he doesn't know how to parent it.
Yeah, he actually...
I mean, you're just making things to have a problem with.
I just don't think it's... How is that... How am I making that up?
No, you're making things to have a problem with. You just want to have a problem with this.
I did have a problem when I watched that, yes. There were a lot of things I had a problem with in this documentary.
And believe me, we'll get to all of them. The first caller of the hour is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MohiganSun.com. In fact, that's one of the only... I'll counter that with... That is one of the only relatable things I've heard Tom Brady say in years. Is that it's... Because it, okay, so the kids are only hanging out with his kids, and they tell him that it's because he's their dad. What I take away from that is that he has parenting issues like anyone else.
Sure.
What you take away from that is he's complaining about being too famous.
Yes. Yes. Like, oh, that makes you real relatable, Tom.
You know, every kid has problems that you're going to have to address.
I acknowledge that. Yes.
But this just happens to be his problem.
Yeah. I just don't. I would just have trouble relating to that. That's all I'm saying.
What about in 10 years when some kid comes up to your kid and says, "I hate you because of your father"?
I mean,
he's a jerk on the radio.
I'm already used to that. People tell that to my wife all the time, so I'm already used to that. I can deal with that.
You are so, and I'm a cynical person, but I'm telling you, it's relatable in that he has to deal with his kid's problems.
Sure, that part of it may be relatable, but
relatable.
Maybe there were other examples of it. You know, that's the biggest problem your kid has.
Well, he probably doesn't want to go into every specific... there's things I don't say about my kids on the air. They're children. I mean, what do you want him to go into? I don't know if his kids have particular... Like, this is something
I just think saying I'm the biggest star on the planet, so now my kid friends don't want to... Or kids don't want to befriend my kid. I just think that is, you know, it's not exactly something a lot of us can identify with. That's all. Your kid having issues with other kids at school, that is relatable. That's relatable.
But this is... Okay. But what do you want him to... He's dealing with his kids. It happens to be something else.
Yeah. It's not like Oprah was prying. This was all volunteered. I don't know. It didn't seem like it needed to necessarily be brought up.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Kyrie Irving was on the very genuine Bill Simmons podcast,
mm-hmm.
which I have only listened to once, and it was for a minute because he name-checked the show when he used to do the show, but then he, as he often does.
Oh, he name-checked the show on a podcast?
Yep.
Oh.
But then he decided that... that was not what he was going to be doing anymore, and now I can tell you that I truly find his writing to be not only insufferable, not only exhausting, but also bad.
I never got the full story on that because there were times
it's very digestible.
You'd email him and he'd just call in if one of our call screeners didn't hang up on him. But
now I look back on that and I said, why did I even get mad?
Yeah. I wasn't aware of the big falling out. I just knew it wasn't happening anymore.
No. It is easily digested. Why does no one edit him?
No one edits that whole... Do you read anything on that website, period?
I can't stand Chuck Klosterman, and I take it he writes there.
It's a good question. I don't read much, but, you know, if there's like a longer form piece that, you know, a Kevin O'Connor or something like that on the
site. I like Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah, we've had him on. He's really good.
But it's just nothing's digestible on that website.
No, and I don't understand. And it's like a template. Like, pop culture reference here and, like, a weird grades thing. I can't read it. It's too dense and it's just too much. It's like a self-pat on the back. It's self-aggrandizing. Just stop it. No, I can't stand it. Yes, you like Boston teams. Hooray. Your dad and you sat at the Garden. Hooray. And then he did that stupid... Now, how can anyone like him when he did that stupid chant thing at the during the Celtics game? He's like, all right, gang, here's some chants.
Oh, that tweet for when LeBron came in?
Yeah.
Oh, that was terrible, yeah.
Yeah, like, first of all, who do you think you are? Like, people are going to be like, dudes!
Hey.
Everyone, listen up. Bill Simmons wants us to go, LeBron sucks. All right, everybody?
On three.
Bill Simmons says it. He went to all the games with his dad growing up.
He used to live here like 20 years ago. He's got a real good finger on the pulse here.
Like, if it was Danny Ainge tweeting it out, no one would do it. Can you imagine the audacity of the guy who thinks that people are going to chant? And then they were so dumb, too. I can't even think of them off the top of my head. But, oh, my God, were they dumb.
Maybe you could start doing that. You could fill that void. Start giving people chance for every game.
Well, you know what's funny, Adam, is that no one would do them.
I wouldn't totally rule it out.
Adam, yes. No one would do them, and I would look like the world's biggest douche, which I'm having no problem doing on the radio, let alone on Twitter.
Yeah.
Where I stopped going on Twitter because I was being a douche constantly, and then I would feel bad about myself in the morning. All right. More than anything, that is why I got off of that. All right, so here is Kyrie Irving talking about Gordon Hayward getting hurt.
Yeah, I just was pissed. I was pissed. I was pissed for our team and more or less for Gordon. You know what I mean? It was like he was just now starting to get a rhythm in preseason. Yeah. And then, you know, it was just tough. It was tough. And then I'm the one that threw the pass. So I was just like, you know, for the alley-oop. And I was like, I was holding on to that for a while. I was just like, damn, bro. Like, because at the time, I'll take responsibility. Like, I'll take part of the responsibility, but he wasn't really open. I saw D Wade over there, and then he came down like wrong. And I'm just like, oh, like,
I thought he got nudged that knocked him off balance too.
I just was like, man. And then I'm still sick about it. It just was like, man, because we had a really good training camp, a really good training camp, and the preseason games weren't even going to be the factor determining how great we're going to be. I knew it from the first day.
Yeah.
Like, because the challenge of forming this team wasn't really hitting us. We had already come from different situations. Like, Jaylen Brown didn't play last year as much.
Yeah.
But he played in the Eastern Conference Finals. Marcus is coming up a year where we're playing in the Eastern Conference Finals. He has a big game against us, game three. They win at home.
Yeah.
Terry comes in. Me and him don't necessarily expect to go against one another, but we're now teammates, and now the challenge of like, okay, I'm going against you every day, you're going against me every day, this is only going to make us better.
Yeah.
JT comes from Duke, very, very talented, going to be a superstar as well as our other young guys, but he was nervous about like, okay, where do I fit into all this? Like any other rookie, but he was just talented as like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, bro, you are, you do some things that I'm just like, they're Kobe-esque.
Yeah.
But he finishes around the rim really well, and he's athletic, and he has long arms. Yeah. I'm like, okay, now how do I elevate him? Then when Gordon went down, the opportunity shifted to those guys. So my attention went to them of just helping them develop that attitude, like you got to be a killer every single night. Don't take anything for granted out here on the floor, and we'll be fine.
My cousin, Uncle Drew's the greatest movie since The Godfather. Just ask my crazy cousin
J-Bug.
J-Bug.
Yeah, our house.
We call him J-Bug because he's like a bug. No explanation needed.
Yeah.
J-Bug and the gang. Can you imagine? Guys, step aside. I have a 5 million word review on Uncle, whatever the hell the name is.
Uncle Drew?
Uncle Drew.
Yeah.
Guys playing.
With like a 1,000-word tangent into why The Wire is the greatest show of all time.
That's right. Wait, wait, you like The Wire? You're the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. By the way, Bird is obsessed with this Korea-Sweden game. He can't get enough of it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Bird's into it? You know that? You know there's like a big Spygate controversy with this game.
Yeah?
I was unaware of this.
Yes. Sweden was supposedly spying on all of... apparently, most of these South Korean players don't play in like big professional leagues. They didn't have a look at them. And so they took a page out of the Patriots playbook. They were spying on what was going on with
South
Korea.
They never proved it.
That's true. That was not proved.
Never proved it.
It's true.
All right, here comes Kyrie with more.
You know, I can't even sugarcoat it. It was tough. Not from, like, kind of watching.
He's talking about his knee.
You know, I can't even sugarcoat it. It was tough. Not from, like, kind of watching the guys, but of what I was dealing with outside of that. Like, I was leaving the games at halftime because I had 8-hour shifts of antibiotics that I had to take.
Oh, yeah.
For my infection. I had a PICC line in my arm.
Oh, yeah.
For 2 months. And I'm just like, every day is like, okay, you know, I can't necessarily lift. I can't run. I can't do anything. If I didn't have my kind of PICC line in for my infection, then I would have definitely gone after trying to be ready for at least the Eastern Conference Finals.
If you had to pick any line from Breaking Bad, what would it be?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. But the infection was
really?
Just, I had no, like, I got two
really?
Surgeries in a matter of, I think it was a 3-week span. I got the screws taken out, then I, you know, I had to take out everything completely. I got the wiring taken out first, excuse me, and then I got the screws taken
out.
So you felt your playing, you felt just a constant agitation.
Yeah, I felt like my body was kind of rejecting the screws at a point. My body was just like, okay, the screws have, you know, I was talking about my body, I know it, and
yeah.
It's just like, after
yeah.
a while... Yeah. My body was just telling me, like, bro, what are you doing with this metal in your body anymore? Like, it served its purpose. I'm healed.
Yeah.
But now it's, like, yeah. it's just getting in the way
yeah.
of you just being completely healthy. So
they took the screws out, and they found that the area was a little infected
mm-hmm.
and was actually dangerous to you.
Yeah, really dangerous. Really dangerous.
So what if they hadn't taken the screws out, what would happen?
I would have just had...
You just sort of felt like crap?
Yeah, like crap. And it just got worse. Like, I started to have some muscle deficiencies and, or atrophy, excuse me, in my left quad just because my leg just started to shut down. It just was, you know, after a while, I couldn't do it anymore.
So how do you feel now?
I feel good now. Yeah. I mean, I feel like me, you know, before I knew I had screws in my knee. Now I'm just like, okay, I'm screwless.
All right. So do you think...
Yeah.
Screws. You know, they ran around and killed people with a nail gun in season 4 of The Wire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Talk about screws.
They bury them in the vacants.
Talk about screws. All right. So do you believe that that Kyrie Irving could have played in the finals?
No.
All right. Do you think that it was bad that he wasn't at game 7?
Yes. Definitely.
And you think that surgery that he could have had before or after?
Yeah, you could have. When did he break his nose?
Right.
Like months and months and months. You could have had that surgery, I would imagine, anytime. It had to be on the middle of game. It had to be in the middle of game 7.
Do you think that was sending a message to the team, or do you think he's just a flaky guy?
I mean, it could be a little of both. It feels like most of what he does is pretty calculating. So... I don't know. I mean, the same guy who won't commit to the team didn't show up to a game 7 is the same guy who seems more interested in recording songs and filming movies. Even though he said the reason he wanted out of Cleveland is because he wanted to focus on basketball. It seems like since he's gotten to Boston, basketball is one of the few things that he's focused on. He's got a lot of other stuff going on.
I'm going to ask you this, and because the rich, and I don't know where you are on this, John. Kyrie Irving is not a star in that... In the world of popular culture.
No.
No, I'm with you on this.
Oh, you
we've,
are with
we've
me.
Talked about this. No, Rich is...
Rich thinks I'm out of
Rich,
my mind.
No. You're not out of your mind. He's certainly, obviously, a superstar in the basketball community. But as
right.
far as a worldwide brand or a nationwide brand...
Yes. No.
You don't step out of sports. No.
No one knows who he is.
Not there.
Like, no. My wife has no idea who Kyrie Irving is.
That's why he needs...
He's not going to download that new track.
Nick Kroll and Shaq. I mean, Shaq is one of those brands. Well, but I love Nick Kroll. I mean, that's why those stars are in there. Well, to help the movie out.
I'm convinced Nick Kroll just did it because he wanted to hang out with basketball players.
But regardless, that movie needs a guy like Nick Kroll, who other people know. They need Shaq, who has transcended the sport and has done other things.
Right. Shaq are very heavy. All right, we'll get back to Tom Brady. He was with Oprah on a Super Soul Sunday. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Father's Day was yesterday. John Wallach received nothing. Nothing from his twin boys.
Nope. I got a Lego set, Fred.
Does that make it worse? There's two of them.
Yeah, and then his wife either. It did nothing.
I got a couple hours to myself. Does that count as a gift?
No.
Oh.
Because don't you get a couple hours to yourself every day during the week?
Yes, I do. I do.
I mean, was it a big production that your wife said, I'm actually going to leave with the kids?
No, she didn't leave. No, she didn't leave the house with the kids. I just was left in a corner of the house by myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a thoughtful, thoughtful thing to do.
Yep.
Now, how did you occupy your time there?
I watched a couple episodes of Black Mirror on Netflix. That's what I did.
So that was the gift, is that I'll let you watch TV that you paid for.
Yes.
They didn't even buy, because now that I'm talking to you about it, are you at all upset that your wife didn't even encourage your kids to make something for you?
I'm not upset by this.
Oh, no, one built you a little Lego.
Yes, that's true. I got a little Lego figure of Batman.
Yeah.
That is now in my office.
That took some time.
Yes, yeah. About 10 minutes.
No, I thought that he gave you the box, and then he went and made it.
Right. It was a wrapped gift that was very, very tiny, and I opened it up, and it was a Lego set.
Right.
Thank you.
And then he goes,
Daddy, can I make that? I'm like, sure, go knock yourself out.
Right. And then he gave you the Lego, which now you are forced to put in
my office. Yes, right next to the laptop.
Now, you have an office. Do you use that office?
I do. Especially during the winter, when I do studying for college games and Celtics games and things of that nature. Yes.
Is there a big, like, mahogany desk?
No, there's not a big mahogany desk. More of an L-shaped thing in the corner of the room.
How do you study?
Well,
you got a big board, you flip it over.
That's right. I have the whiteboard. Yeah. I write depth charts down. Yeah. No, that's not right.
I can see that.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. Was it a passive-aggressive move by John's wife and children not to have anything for him for Father's Day?
Get out.
Because Jones, even though your child is only 6 weeks old.
Yeah, he didn't make me anything, what a slacker.
I would have imagined, though, that did your wife say something? Did she say, hey, let's go to lunch or something?
Yeah, we went out to breakfast.
There you go.
Family and I went out to breakfast as well.
But is that something you normally do?
Did you, or are you just copying what I'm saying?
No,
oh, yeah, no, we went to breakfast.
Yeah, me too.
No, totally, that actually
happened.
Yep.
And if you go listen to the podcast at the 6 a.m. hour, you will see that I did say that. Yes.
Okay, so you went out to breakfast.
Yes, with the children.
Now, were there any happy Father's Day? Like, this is the greatest, you're the greatest dad in the world?
No, those words were not mentioned, no.
See, I got a card from my 7-year-old.
You're the best dad in the world. I did not hear that.
Yeah, I was, I got G-D-O-A-T, greatest dad of all time.
Okay, yep.
Wow. My son made a poster for me.
Wow.
My daughter made a personalized card. My wife gave me toilet paper that it was supposed to be funny in some way, shape, or form that's not. And, But there was love there. And so it makes me think,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing something right, and your kids have no respect for you.
You're studying too many Bryant depth charts.
That's my fault.
Yeah, maybe if you did a little bit.
Pushed them in the wrong direction.
Maybe if you spent a little less time in the office and a little more time out and about, you know, getting your hands dirty.
Less time watching Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Less time studying for, who does Bryant play, St. Francis?
No, they open with URI November 6th.
URI. Yeah. So yeah, maybe if you were a little less focused on that.
I mean,
that
I understand that the Bryant gig can feed your family for half a day.
It's all consuming, Fred, it is.
Sure, the Brian gig could.
I don't even know.
We got to pay for those
half
breakfasts.
A day.
Yeah, like it at could, least 3 days.
It could give you a box of cereal and like some bread and in like Oscar Mayer.
Yeah,
and you know, yesterday I chopped the head off. Well, I didn't do it, but we had to chop the head off a rabbit.
Yeah,
I told you that earlier.
You do. You legit get your hands dirty. You do.
Yeah. Yeah. Over there before the big baseball game.
Sure. An already dead rabbit.
Yes, the rabbit
for those,
was
for those who
dead.
Missed out on this earlier, rabbit was already dead.
Yeah, and it was stuck in the, it was stuck in the netting,
and you so a guy threw it into the bushes.
Well, no, a guy from upstate New York, and the children were delighted by this. By the way, took a shovel and chopped off the animal's head.
Sure.
And
how many chops does that take?
That's not one quick whack. That's one shot and it's gone.
A decision has to be. No. It took numerous.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A decision has to be made. Do you decapitate the animal, or can you work it out? Because you can't touch it,
right?
Because it's got all kinds of crap on it.
Bubonic plague.
And everything. Yeah. It's got herpes and everything. So you get there and you chop the head off, and then I took because I felt guilty that I should do something. So I took the rabbit, and then someone suggested I put it in a porta potty, which I thought was a terrible idea, because I mean I know crap is in there, but I don't think the chemicals kill things like that would be floating off of a dead carcass.
Right.
Lord knows how long that was out there.
We were joking earlier, like that might be how Ebola starts. Like put a dead animal in a pile of poop. That might be where Ebola starts. You'd be ground zero for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. So I put it in some bushes, and yeah. I said, "There you go.
There you go."
Like you said, the circle of life.
Yeah, it's compost.
Yeah, maybe one of them coyotes can come eat it. Then it can get sick and die. You don't need those coyotes running all around eating cats.
Nope.
Big coyote problem in Newton.
We got something similar out in Natick.
See, I
some
think
coyotes
that,
in Natick.
I think the people
in the
wrong. I think the people on the wrong side of Newton are bundling up those coyotes and putting them in our streets.
You think that's what it is? There's a transport situation where they find them and bring them to your neighborhood?
I think so. They want all our cats dead.
Phil, get the trailer.
You can't let the dog out at night. You can let my dog out, Pitbull. William, go ahead.
All right, Fred. Crazy day. It was also my birthday yesterday on Father's Day. So me and my father, you know, we were going to play our annual Father's Day round of golf. And on the first hole, my dad yanks his tee shot into the woods. And, so we get back into the cart. I'm like, well, Dad, looks like you're hitting three. And so we're going down the thing, and he got pretty upset. And so I squirted a little bit of water on his arm. And, you know, so we're in the cart, and he just sucker punches me right in the side of the face in the golf cart. so in the cart, you know, we're punching each other in the cart as the cart's driving down the fairway. And then we just park the thing on the car path, and we just get out swinging at each other. And then we get back in the cart, and we're like, yeah, we're sorry, hug it out, and we keep going. But, you know.
So you had a full-on fist fight.
Absolutely. On Father's Day and on my birthday, on the first hole of the round.
So he sucker punches you. Did anything, like, did you get a black eye? Did he, like, crack your nose or something?
No, but, I mean, it hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I squirted a little bit of water on his arm, and he's like, well, you don't squirt water on me. Like, where's your etiquette? And I'm like, oh, for God's sakes, Dad. And then, you know, I just got out of the car, and I'm saying, we're not doing this anymore. And we just started fighting on the golf path on the first hole.
Oh, wait, how old a man is your father?
My dad is 58 years old, and I turned 27 yesterday.
Yeah, he's got, but now, did you take care of business? Would you say that you won the fight?
No, he's an Irish guy from downtown, so you don't mess with those guys.
Yeah, he's got like that old man strength.
Yeah, dad strength.
Yeah, dad strength.
You got to look out for that.
Yeah, he would have taken me. It was kind of like the Bob Barker scene from
Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore.
Yeah. So that is my Father's Day story.
Well, what would you rather be? Would you rather get nothing or get a sucker punch from your dad on Father's Day? What would you be in, Wallach spot or the caller spot?
I know which way I'm going.
If my father hit me, there's nothing I could do about it. The man's frail. I would have to let it be. Plus, I don't think there's going to be a lot of power behind that.
Yeah, my
boy.
Dad's 6'4" and in shape. I'm not. I'm opting for
how old? He's got to be old because
now, you're 50. Now he's 80. But
no,
I could probably take him.
One time when I was in high school, my dad got really mad at me and he picked me up by the collar of my shirt and threw me against the wall just with one hand.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, when you get, you can pick up a car when someone's,
yep.
you feel someone's in danger.
Yeah, the adrenaline's gone.
He was so mad at me that he picked me up and I'm like, and I stopped. I was like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that, you feisty son of a bitch. Matt, quickly, what do you got?
Story.
No, it was just a quick story similar to your rabbit situation. I have two dogs and they kind of got after a squirrel and they do it very often. And there have been numerous times where I've had to take a shovel and, finish them off.
Oh, they're still living and they're in pain, so you got to chop their head off.
Tough.
Yep. Tough. And you're right. It's not as quick as you think. It takes a couple stomps.
Yeah. You got to, I mean, listen, if they're in pain, then you got to make the decision to decapitate them. This one was dead. This one was being greedy and it tried to get in some net like a dumbass. And then the next thing you know, hey, look it, your body's been desecrated. All right. Well, listen, Tom Brady spoke to Oprah Winfrey, so we'll have that for you. A bunch more audio coming up.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. John Wallach received nothing from his family for Father's Day except something that his son had that he just wrapped and then did it himself. I received a poster for my son, a beautiful card for my daughter, and my wife gave me some toilet paper for some reason that had the message I don't even remember on it.
Said it was the number one farter or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you're the best farter.
Happy Farter's Day? Is that what it was?
And she looked at me with this, like, face, like, huh?
Oh, did the Groucho Marx eyes?
She's like,
hey, huh?
And I'm like,
I checked a website for that.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? No. Like, what do you want me to do with this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously not to be used for its purpose. It's just, do you want me to display this?
Yeah, when you have a house guest, I think that'd be tasteful. Mother-in-law comes over or something, you say, hey, put this in your bathroom.
Well, I can assure you don't listen to the show much because mother-in-law's never coming over.
You stay away from that. That's,
well, you don't have to stay away from it. It's never, everybody hates you. I always tell people he's not that bad. But they hate you.
Yeah, that's Fred's mother-in-law to Fred.
Yes. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, guys, you're talking about father-son problems. On my son's wedding day, we're back in the room waiting to go outside, having that little father-son moment. And he punches me in the arm, like we always do this. He punches me in the arm, and I just spun around to punch him back. And he kind of ducked, and my fist, glanced off his shoulder, hit him right in the nose, broke his nose on his wedding day.
But right before he went out?
Right before he went out, about 20 minutes before he was supposed to walk down the aisle. So he's bleeding everywhere. His nose is all crooked. We had to delay the wedding long enough to kind of get his nose back in shape and clean up the blood. And he was getting two big shiners by the time it was trying to do pictures.
Now, did people believe you, or did they think that you just hauled off and hit him?
I don't know. I think my family believed it. His wife's family thought I just punched him.
So this is how you do things. Yeah, we had slight arguments, but I just pound him.
I just pound him in the face.
Yeah, why not? It was that type of day.
For the wedding pictures, because he had two big shiners, for the wedding pictures, everybody had to get together and rent tuxes and stuff. About a month later, 6 weeks later, so they could take the pictures without his black eye.
Wow. Well, listen, congratulations. You have a memorable wedding. And for that, I'm sure your son will be always look at that fondly.
What do you think that kid got his dad for Father's Day?
Kicked him in the balls.
Yeah, that was maybe that wasn't such a nice Father's Day gift.
I'm telling you, John, tell your wife next year that you won something from the kids.
Yeah. What do they do on Mother's Day?
Oh, I'm sure they do a lot of stuff.
On Mother's Day, I don't know if we did cards, but my mother-in-law was in town on Mother's Day as well. So I made sure I got up early, Made sure the kid, we went out to brunch, of course. Made sure the kids were taken care of, you know, dressed, ready to go before we all left.
Now, a brunch, will you enjoy yourself a cocktail, a breakfast cocktail?
I don't think I did. I don't even remember where we went. No, it's a good point. I don't remember where we went.
But probably going to be the DD there. she can have a big day on Mother's Day, I imagine.
I'll tell you this, is that all I know is that people from my baseball league told me that, A, how to chop off a rabbit's head, and B, that a bunch of parents complain about games being on Mother's Day, and no one complains when they're on Father's Day. Because Father's Day is something that really carries about 1% of the meeting that Mother's Day does. It's a hallmark holiday that they swung and missed on. That's all. All right. Well, Tom Brady spoke to Oprah Winfrey. Giselle was there, and for some unknown reason that I still haven't any explanation for, Jim Gray was there. There is a ton of audio. We haven't gotten to it yet. He talks about the national anthem, his feelings on it. He talked about training in a different way than the rest of the team.